Your name, first name, first name?
Stephen.
How you spell it? S-T-E-V-E-N?
Yes.
Your middle name?
Devon, capital D-E, capital V-O-N.
And your last name?
Nelson, N-E-L-S-O-N.
And you are Corporal?
Corporal.
USMC?
United States Marine Corps.
Okay, now what's your name?
Michael R. Robert Roa.
How do you spell that last name?
Roa, R-O-H-A.
R-O-H-A. R-O-H-A.
Lance Corporal.
Lance Corporal, U.S. Marine Corps. What organization were you in?
Combined Action Group.
Which one?
Hotel 7.
Both of
them? Yes.
Located where?
The village of Tuilu.
Tuilu.
T-H-U-A.
L-U-U.
L-U-U. Is the second. There's two words.
It's right on Route 1, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
We're about the Route 1.
Halfway between Da Nang and Fubai.
Below Fubai. Your unit was hit on what date?
The morning of the 7th, around 3:30 in the morning.
By North Vietnamese?
Yes, it was.
And you were taken prisoner when?
Sometime around 4:30.
In the afternoon or morning?
In the morning.
In the morning.
What hour were you hit then?
It'd be around 4 o'clock that we were actually hit.
How many guys were in this?
In this comp?
Your
in our unit? It's a double CAC.
We had 17 Marines and 29 PFs.
One corps,
there was also one corpsman.
One
in this.
Corpsman also.
Were you in your compound?
Yes.
Yes.
Where are the rest of the Marines now?
The rest of the Marines now? That's hard to say right now. I imagine they're back to duty right now.
How many, do you know how many people died in that effect?
We have no idea.
Is this okay to answer?
Were you the only two captured?
I'll tell you when.
Were you the only two captured?
Yes.
The release has been made on casualties. So don't
as far as we know, 7 were killed.
Marines?
Yes. 2 were captured. And the rest are
wounded.
Injured. All wounded.
Could you describe the action as it unfolded to us?
Yeah. I'd just gotten off radio watch at about 2:20 in the morning and went back to my sleeping quarters and went to sleep, and then about 3:30, 4 o'clock the explosions started coming around the compound. Though we couldn't tell at the time whether it was rockets or satchel charges or mortars. We didn't know at this time that they were already inside the compound. We more or less guessed at that after we heard one of the satchel charges bounce off the roof and fall on the ground.
You know how they'd gotten through your perimeter?
I'd say the sappers were the first ones in the compound. They more than likely they must have came through the rear.
What about your security?
We have good security. There was 4 people on watch at the time that they came in.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know this.
How many MDA were in this attack?
Anywhere from 150 to 200.
I was wondering if that was all right.
What did you do after you heard the satchel charge pop off the roof?
Well, there was nothing we could do at the time. We were already inside the bunker and stuff, defending the compound at the time.
Were you with Mike or Harry?
Yes.
Were you in the same place?
Yes, same bunker. We're both in the same bunker.
How many men were in this bunker?
Just 2. It was very small.
You 2 together?
Yes.
If you both lived in this one bunker?
No, we lived in hardbacks, but we would go to these bunkers. These were our fighting positions.
What weapons were you carrying?
The M16.
A1.
You'd both gone to tier 5? fighting position instead of going to sleep on the radio watch?
No, you go back to your quarters to sleep in. Then you go to the wall or something that should happen.
Yes. Oh, so after, as soon as you knew they were inside, you went to the fighting position.
Right.
Did you see plenty of targets?
I'd only shot at two targets the whole time. They run up and down the road outside the compound. I didn't see anything.
Immediately after we fired, they threw a satchel. They would throw satchel charges in the bunkers. We had no idea they were inside. But as soon as they would hear someone firing out of a bunker, they'd run along the bunker and throw a satchel charge in it.
From behind?
We didn't know this. It was from behind at the time. But
is that L7 right in the middle of the village?
Yes, right in the middle.
Do you have mines? Do you have any mines around here?
No mines.
If we used to put up mines, you got the trouble of the kids and stuff in the veil. I couldn't see putting up mines. Somebody might get hurt.
Bunkers and wire, right?
Right.
And Claymore mines.
Claymore mines is the only mines that we're allowed to set up.
Did you get the fire of the Claymores?
One.
I think one went off.
You got no indications from the village at any time of this?
No.
No, we didn't.
Describe how you got captured.
Well, I was right after a satchel charge had been thrown in our bunker. I had run outside the bunker, and Roe had picked a satchel charge up to throw it out the window. And it went off. I heard it go off, and tin and stuff was flying around. And I run past the generator bunker, going to the radio room to find out why no artillery or support groups had come in at this time. And when I got back to the radio room, everything back there was on fire and blown up. The radio was still buzzing, but I couldn't raise anybody on the freak. So when I was leaving the radio room to go back to my bunker, they jumped me as I come out the door.
How many?
There were six of them.
You said they jumped in each of them. Was it a
fall
or something?
No, they just, more or less just like you were standing there and they just more or less swarmed right in on top of me.
They wrestled you?
Yes, they more or less saw me as I went inside the radio bunker, and then they knew I had to come out that one door, so they were waiting for me when I came out.
Was it pretty quiet then? I mean, was there no shooting
stopped? All the shooting would stop. At the time, me and Roy, we thought we were the only ones left in the compound.
Ammunition at this time was burning, and hand grenades and stuff were in the burning places were going off. It was explosions and all this.
What happened? How good a fight was it?
It wasn't any
fight to it. It was all over within an hour.
You personally.
Me?
Yeah, they tackle you or what?
More or less. It was more or less just like a football game. It was all over with. The guy had the ball and then they hit me.
Did they say anything in English or like hands up or?
Surrender, no die is all they knew.
Surrender, no die.
Yeah.
Well, they grab your arms immediately or grab your legs or?
Well, all I know is two of them just jumped on top of me when I come out the door. No, they didn't hit me or anything. They just grabbed a hold of me and grabbed my weapon away from me before I had a chance.
Did you try to swing or struggle away?
I tried to get away at first, but then I seen there was too many of them coming, so I just let myself be taken.
Did they hold you down or just keep the weapons strangling?
They just more or less held both my arms, and they had one guy was holding onto my legs, so I wouldn't try to run.
What did it feel like at this time?
I was all confused. I didn't even know what the hell happened. It was just too much confusion at the time.
Say anything to
them? Nothing at all.
Could you see how they were dressed?
The ones that got inside, the sappers, the ones that came through the wall at first, they were wearing black t-shirts and black shorts and looked like it might have been soot on their legs and arms, more or less to camouflage themselves.
They carried nothing but satchel charges.
And they had no weapons of their own. They carried nothing but satchel charges.
Was there a wave of people with weapons after them?
Not that we could tell. Not from where our hole was.
So once they got you stopped, what did they do? Did they tie you up?
They took me over to the wall by the ammo bunker and they tied us up.
Kick you, hit you, anything like that?
Nothing like this.
Put your hands up?
No, they put my hands behind my back. I had no clothes on, so they didn't bother searching me.
You had no clothes on?
All I had on was a pair of skivvies.
And they tied your hands behind your back?
Yes.
Were you good?
Yes.
The elbows
were
together,
really
too.
Tight. Elbows were tied together, too.
How about you, Mike? What happened now? If we got him standing by the wall now, what did they do to you?
I was still in my bunker, and
I
threw the charge out, and it went off, and I was just kind of dazed there for a minute. And then I just kept watching out. I still had no idea at that time that there was anyone in the compound. So I just kept watching out of my parapet, and pretty soon I heard heavy breathing, real heavy breathing outside my bunker. Stuck my head up over to look real quick, and Lance Corporal Miller was there, and he had his leg blown off about between the knee and the bottom of his foot. So I went out of my bunker and grabbed him and pulled him by the opening and put my belt on his leg for a tourniquet. And he was, at this time, was screaming for help and everything. And I knew if he didn't have a corpsman, he'd probably die of shock real quick. So I went out of my bunker around the front of the compound to find the corpsman, to go to the rear to get the corpsman. And I passed by some people standing there. I thought that this time that these were our PFs that were standing there, and they had their hands up. They kept going like this, putting their hands up. And I told them, I said, you know, I told them, you know, no, no. And I just kept running. I didn't know at this time that they were NVA. I thought they were, I told them no, and then I just started running again. One sort of grabbed me, and I just pushed him away a little bit. I thought they wanted to give up, you know, all of us, and I couldn't see that then. I mean, and went down a little bit farther, and a NVA officer stuck a pistol in my stomach. And then they grabbed me and tied my arms.
Were you coming around the corner or what?
No, I came around the corner and I was going straight. Mm-hmm. And I ran into these guys, and they wanted to surrender. I thought they were trying to give up, and I said no, and I pushed them away and kept going because I had to get to the corner. And I went down maybe 15 meters more straight, and he stuck a pistol on me, and the guy next to him went like that. No.
This guy,
that was it.
This guy sort of come out from around the bunker and confronted you, or what?
Yeah, he was just kind of out along there. I think I stunned them as much as they stunned me by pushing him away.
Yeah.
And I think they were as confused really as we were until they really got a hold of us and got us sitting down there, because they were running around, and I think quite a few of their satchel charges probably got them, because
were you wearing your utility?
I had on utility trousers and a t-shirt and no boots. I'd been asleep.
No boots.
By this time, where were the other members of your team?
The only person I saw from the time that it hit was Lance Corporal Nelson and Lance Corporal Miller. They're the only two Marines that I saw.
What has happened to Miller, do you know?
I don't know, that's what.
Miller died.
He did?
Did this NVA officer speak English?
No English. They didn't speak any English to us. They just surrender, no die.
Yeah.
That's it.
Once they got you sitting, did they handle you a little, beat you up a little, ask any questions?
None at all.
What happened then? The officer took you over to where Mike was?
Where
Steve was?
Yes. And we sat down there, and they kept throwing satchel charges in the bunkers, and they went next door while we were sitting there to get the finish off the Arvins that were next door in the compound, next door to us. And then after that, they wanted to start burning everything, so they took us outside the compound. We sat outside maybe 50 meters away, and they threw gasoline on everything and burned it.
Do you know what the Arvin casualties were in that?
We didn't. I only saw when we went past, like on the bridge, they had about 40 people on the bridge. I only saw two bodies.
What did they tie your hands with?
Mine they tied with just a real coarse rope that they sometimes use, like maybe for anchor rope or something like that on a boat.
Tied your elbows too?
Yes, tied elbows. They tied it very tight the first night.
So then after they burned the camp, did they then immediately take you?
Well, while it was still burning, they just got it going good, and then they took us away.
Was it gray then? Was the sky gray?
Yes. No, it was
just dawn though, so you had so you could see pretty well?
Oh, we couldn't really see too well then. And there's explosions going off and you know, everything going up. We walked for quite a while and then it began getting light.
Which way do you think you went then? We pick it up from there, then which way do you think you started walking?
We walked originally we walked north. And then we started going west.
You walk on the roads?
We walked on the road, and then when we went off the road, we would start going west. We walked right down highway.
When the sun came up and got off the road?
We were off the road. We were already around west, we were already starting to go up into the mountains. We had plenty of cover then. Yes.
Did you talk to each other at all during this?
Right at first, I'd say little things to them. We were pretty shook up, and they would tell us not to, you know, don't talk. After a while, they didn't care. After they got our name, rank, and service number up on the mountain where we went the first day.
How far did you walk to this mountain?
Maybe about 3 miles.
About 3-4 miles.
How many men were on you when you walked?
About five. Five, and then there was others, five directly on us, and then others around.
All armed?
Yes. Is this all right to see
what
they were armed with?
Oh, yeah.
AK-10s.
SK-10s and AK-47s.
What did you find when you got to the mountain?
Oh, yes. And, it was maybe sort of like something where they would go there right before they'd hit, and right after they hit, and right after that they'd move out.
Staging area.
Like, more or less like that. They had
a lot of bunkers in
it? They had one big bunker that we saw that we stayed in, and then other small holes up and down the trail, I guess, for security.
Did you arrive on bleeding feet?
Pardon?
What were your feet like when you arrived?
They were bleeding. Well, they weren't too bad there. Then the next day we moved, and we were walking over rocks and stuff, and they were bleeding after that.
At this hideout, you know, all they took was your name, rank, and serial number.
Yes, they wanted more, but we told them we didn't understand.
No
English.
No, this is all in Vietnamese.
You just kept repeating your name, rank, and serial number.
No, we said it once, and then after that, we told them we didn't understand.
Do you speak any Vietnamese?
Are we allowed to say anything?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, we understood, but we told them we
didn't
know.
Were you given a language course before you came over, or did you pick up?
No, I picked what little I knew, I picked up. Just
both of you pick it up? Both of you have a fair knowledge of the language? How would you describe it?
Fair.
He has a lot better than I do. I just a little bit, you know, here and there. I had been there about a month and a half.
About 3 months.
What were they saying that you go over here about what they're going to do there, anything like that?
I couldn't pick up anything what they were saying, what they were going to do us, what they were going to move us or anything like that. The only thing that I could really understand was he said Tenji, which means name. He just wanted to know our name and so we give him our name, rank, service number, and unit we was with.
You couldn't understand them because they were speaking a different dialect than the one you were used to?
They do speak a different dialect. Like they say, the south is Ma Lin, to hurry up, they say Ma Lin.
These were North Vietnamese?
Yes.
Plus the fact a lot of the stuff that they wanted were military stuff, and being in the village, we wouldn't really speak of military stuff that much to the in Vietnamese. It would be more or less like asking for food or asking a person's name or something like this.
Now, how many days were you in their captivity?
14.
14. How shall we cover these 14 days? Can you give us generally where you went, what happened? Not in too much detail, but the highlights of
how they were treated.
Yeah, right.
The first night we were pretty scared. We were tied real tight. It was morning time by the time we reached up on this mountain. From then on, they treated us fine. They gave us, if we wanted more to eat, they would give us more to eat.
What did you eat?
The first day we had cookies and I guess tea. And they had these Vietnamese cookies. And we had salmon, I guess it was, American salmon.
Tin?
Yes, in the oval type tin. I don't know exactly.
Sardines, you think, or herring?
Maybe. There weren't
sardines.
It might have been
herring. It had more or less like a barbecue sauce on it.
This was all the first time?
Yes.
Subsequently to that, they do things like curry, lizard, and that sort of thing?
No.
No, we didn't. The weirdest thing about we had was water bull, and that's not, you know, that's...
Water buffalo. Did they keep you tied during the whole 14 days?
Yes, very loosely. The reason why we couldn't get out before that is because of my feet. But we could slip out ourselves.
Did you receive any medical attention for your feet?
Yes, they were started getting swollen up and, you know, infected. And so they sent a corpsman over. And they were starting to get a little bit better, but they still weren't too well. And we think they may have wanted to move us eventually or something, because then a medical officer came and he gave me pills, and he gave us vitamin pills.
Were you pretty well equipped?
The medical officer just had what pills he gave me, and their corpsmen aren't real well equipped. Just what they, I think, what they steal from us.
Did you see where the medicine originated? Did you couldn't tell any of the markings?
No, I couldn't. That's what we looked for. There was no markings. They were just plain pills.
Well, did you spend, say, maybe 2 or 3 days getting to this place you stayed the rest of the time? Or?
The first day we were captured, we stayed at one place all that day for us to rest. The next day, we moved, and we moved all day till that night, and we reached the final place.
What was that?
That was very high in the mountains.
Moving west then?
Moving west and
west and north?
North, maybe.
And then what was the, your final place like?
That was a hooch and then a bunker under it, and we just stayed in the bunker all the time.
A lot of people there?
At first there was a lot around because, you know, it's a novelty, just like if we captured.
Was it a hamlet?
Oh, no, it was nothing like this. It was up in the middle of nowhere. These people had their stuff built.
How many people do you think were sort of staying there?
Well, there's quite a few around at first because they all wanted to see the prisoners. You know, they don't too often get Americans, I don't think.
What kind of a military apparatus was there? You think a company or a battalion or just what? Just some kind of base camp?
Maybe like a rest area or something like this.
Or how big a force?
We couldn't really tell that too much.
A lot of troops, though? Did you see a lot of troops or a lot of women and children or what?
No, no children. And what few women were just there, NVA women.
Plenty of troops, though? How many troops do you think so?
Is this all right to divulge this?
Well, did what you saw at first,
Well, there might have been. Well, we figured there'd be at least a company up there, at least. And then there was more, because they would come through all the time.
Did they give you any clothes to wear?
Lance Corporal Nelson, he had on just the skivvies. They gave him a pair of trousers, a sweatshirt, and a top shirt. I had on a T-shirt. They gave me sort of like a little vest-like thing and another top shirt. Yes, it fit.
Is this NVA stuff or Captain Marine stuff?
This was in their type of clothes. It wasn't.
Jackets, John.
And the other ones were the regular type of, looked like a little smoking jacket or something like this. You know.
Now, Steve, did you feel it at any time that your life was in danger? Did they give you any indication that they were going to shoot you or anything of this sort?
The only time I felt my life was really in danger was the first night. I figured they would kill us before they ever left the compound. I figured they wouldn't bother taking us down the road or anything to kill us. They'd kill us right there.
Personally, I was sweating it the whole time. They kept saying the word for shoot, and I did.
They did? Keep saying it?
They said it,
they
we
said
couldn't
it
tell
that,
whether they...
He says, don't be afraid, we're not going to kill you. But every time that all we could pick up was just the word that he was saying that they were going to shoot us.
But that could mean they were going to shoot somebody else, or they were going to shoot a bird, or anything. But all we pick up is that word, and that word isn't the word we wanted to hear.
What is it?
It's
bong.
Bong. And also they had another word, it's Chet, which means dead. It means we're going to kill you, or something like this. And they have they also have another word, it is Zet, which means cold. And they kept asking us if we were cold, and I thought they wanted to kill us. And oh, boy, I was cold. It was.
What day? Were you in some sort of a cell or a bunker you kept there, or did you walk around?
It was a bunker with two openings. They boarded one across. And then
how
they,
big?
Maybe 12 feet by 6 feet. And they guarded the other entrance.
Stand up in it, or?
Yes, you know, like more or less.
You could almost stand up in it.
Yes,
sort of
they could. They could stand up in it.
How many meals did you get a day?
3 meals.
Were you able to shave and walk?
No. none of that. It was, we were high up in the mountains. It was too cold for that anyway.
They seemed quite well equipped and healthy.
They were healthy, but as far as being, they had seemed to have what they wanted. They were happy and everything, you know, they had what they wanted.
Do you see any other Americans or any other prisoners?
No.
None at all.
These people are kind of have a look at your, how they react when you sit down and prod you or giggle or what?
Like there'd be some joker in every crowd. They'd have a big crowd of people would come, and they would, of course, want to see the Americans. You know, it's just like an animal in a zoo or something there. And they'd bring us up, and they'd sit there, and they'd just sit there and look at us. And after a while, we started getting beards and stuff. And then at first they would sit close to us and just watch us. And after a while, they would stand back a ways and look at us. They have a build up impression of us. Maybe it's a little bit of what we have of them. I mean, you know, they think that we're more or less a lot stronger than they are.
Well, when these times would come, would you be taken out of the bunker and stand on top of it or something like that?
There's a bunker in the ground,
yeah.
Top on the bunker, and then the top on the bunker was actually the floor of their hooch, just maybe like this, you know.
Yeah.
Then they'd have a ceiling over that. Well, we'd come up and they had racks and stuff up on top, beds,
yeah.
And we would sit on there, and they would just sit there and look at us or give us a cigarette or something like that.
You'd stand in the middle of the room?
No, we'd sit down. We'd sit there.
Yeah, in the room.
Yes.
Well, they are
sit on the racks.
That's the thing too. They my feet not been in such bad shape. They would. For example, I would be sitting here, and there would be a weapon sitting right maybe here, and I could grab it. But there was quite a few of them, but I could have killed them all with their weapon.
They were careless.
Very careless. Very lax. At first they weren't, but then they began to trust us, I guess.
Were their weapons in pretty good condition?
Yes, very good.
How'd you pass the day? What'd you guys do? You have any...
Sit down. We sat and talked. And well, more or less, the whole time what really kept us going is we figured we were going to get out of there. And we figured, we just talked about little things, schemes, you know. And
were you afraid they might be able to overhear you?
At first, for a while, we thought maybe they might be understanding a little bit of us, a little bit of it, because they seemed to get a little bit more cautious. But then after, they got lax again, so we figured they just caught certain words like go. They know what go means. And they may just assume that we were going to go.
Were there regular attempts to interrogate you? Any
attempts in English? They sent an English speaking officer, but he spoke English so bad that we couldn't make anything out of it. When they'd speak Vietnamese, we could get more out of it than when he tried to speak English. It was he came more or less just to make us happy. He gave us a Bible, and they were trying to make us happy, is all, you know, so I guess. They would show us pictures of their girlfriends and stuff like this. They were trying to make us accept, you know, like they were accepting us.
What kind of a Bible did
he give you? It was a Gideon's Bible.
In English?
Yes.
Yeah.
English.
He
no, he gave it to us to read.
Was he a Christian?
No, I don't. I couldn't say. He didn't say himself. He couldn't read it, I don't think, himself, but then he knew that it was a Bible.
Was there any mention, Steve, during this time of President Johnson or people, did they propagandize you? Did they give you any propaganda?
They give us these little NFL pamphlets that you have to, about will you return home safe for Christmas, and it's just this propaganda stuff like that. We read it just to please, and we more or less didn't pay any too much attention to it. I've seen them before.
We ate babies. Is this right to tell
them? Huh? Really, more or less, it was just a lot of shit on it. That was all there was to it. It wasn't none of it
true. We didn't really get too much of a debriefing because, that they didn't, they just wrote it down. They were interested in that.
Well,
eating babies.
More or less just the training that we go through. You learn to pick out the officers and the enlisted man. The officer is pretty well clean-shaved and have nice haircuts, fairly good clothes. They always, all of them carry that Chinese-made 38.
Now these people, they don't shave too much either. They carry along a little thing and they pull out their hairs as they come out. They don't shave as such.
They don't, like the South Vietnamese sometimes, they don't let their little hairs grow as long as they can. They cut them off or pluck them off.
Yeah, they pull them out, yes.
The place where you were prisoner, was it at any time during your stay bombed or shot by
We could hear explosions in other mountains, but none right on us.
Did you ever at any time leave the camp and have them take you to villages and destroy you?
No.
You said this was a risk area. Did they on Saturday night leave the rush line and get bombed out of the mine?
This thing, they didn't have any, they didn't smoke pot while we were there or anything like this. No wine. It's just that it was more like a rest area, like recuperation, because they would just sleep all day long and just more or less lay around.
Well, did they look like they'd been in action recently? Did you see anything look like mine equips, other than the ones that...
Well, they would come in dirty, and then they would get cleaned up and put on trousers and stuff like this.
They come in several times when we were there. They seemed to have come back from an operation.
It seems so. They were out somewhere. They were dirty.
Did you see any wounded in that area?
No wounded. No wounded at all.
Was this in Laos?
No.
How do you know?
We didn't walk that far. That's extremely long ways.
Could you, I know you were debriefed, could you give any kind of approximate locations of the rest camp?
No.
Just in the hills is all we can say.